Let's pray and we'll get into the Word of God and our message for today. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and teach us today and to bring forth what you desire any way you see fit, Lord, in the way that we need to hear it, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes now. Open the ears of our understanding, Lord, the heart of our understanding. And bring us light, Father. Let your word come into us, Father. And let us hear it as you speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking about authority, and last week we were talking a little bit more about the believer's warfare. How many remember? We talked about the believer's warfare last week. 1 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. Let's go over there and let's just read that for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And beginning in verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," or we could say they're not of the flesh, but they're spiritual, aren't they? "But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled." So here we see how or what takes place when the enemy comes against us, and last week we talked about that he often uses thoughts in our mind, doesn't he? He comes and brings a thought, and that every thought you have is not your thought. Did you know that? You see, but sometimes the enemy comes with thoughts, and he wants you to believe it's you. It's not even you. No, I don't think that way. That's not my thought. We have to realize, and it doesn't matter, I suppose, if it was your thought or if the enemy brought that thought, we take that thought captive. It says here, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a system of thought that is within us, but it has an empowerment normally of our emotions. There's an emotion attached with that. And so, you know, a lot of times there are certain things that are pleasurable. And somehow we have to think about it. Well, why is that a system of thought? Because it's something that went on over and over and over in your life or in your mind. Amen. And it began to build what we call a stronghold. It could be, you know, there are also positive strongholds that we can build with God. Sometimes we look at it all, well, that's just a stronghold. That means it's something that it's difficult for us to overcome. It's a system that the enemy came, or a thought that came, a thought pattern that continues to come to us. And we have to begin to say, no, I'm going to what? Tear that down. I'm going to cast down those thoughts, those imaginations, hallelujah, or arguments that come against my mind. It's called what? Reasoning sometimes. We reason against the truth. We talked about that here, didn't we? You know, that sometimes the enemy comes and he brings an argument against you. Anybody ever argue with yourself? Somebody says, well, all the time, you know. Yeah, you know, I think I'll do this. No, I won't. You know? But we can cast down the arguments of the enemy. What? With the Word of God. How did Jesus defeat him? With the truth. John 17, 17, it said, Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." The Word of God is truth. and the enemy comes to lie, you're not worth anything. Then what can we say? No. No, God made me something. Why? He made me his very righteousness. He made me right with God. He has forgiven me of every sin as far as the east is from the west. I am somebody. See, he likes to play your past. He likes to play your mistakes. He likes to bring imaginations. He likes to argue with you and be what? One of the names of the enemy is what? Accuser of the brethren. What does his name declare? It shows his character. It shows who he is. It reveals him. And the accuser of the brethren comes against you. Amen. And he tries to bring it. We take thought those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Jesus so that we are walking like he would walk. That's why it's so important that we know what God said. See, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen. We're not really destroyed because of because the devil's so powerful, are we? We've been learning that hey, we have authority over him. But there's a warfare that does take place with us right here, normally in our mind. And we were talking about that last week. And here in 1 Timothy 1:18, it talks about Timothy warring a good warfare. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. It says, This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare. In other words, the things that were said about you, Timothy, the words that were spoken over you and the things that God has showed you, the words that have come to you and what God has called you to do, keep that in mind and use that. It is a war against the enemy. Because how many ever said, hey, oh, God doesn't have anything for you. You're just nobody. God doesn't have a place for you. God doesn't have a call on your life. He said, well, it doesn't mean everybody is called to preach and teach the gospel. But he does have some kind of call. You know, he does call some people to be doctors and paramedics and policemen and other things in the world. God does have calls. You know, I believe, you know, my nephew, he believed God called him into the military. How many know? They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And whatever we do, we're to do as what? To the glory of God, to bring him glory, to bring him honor. And we're a testimony wherever we are. We are a witness. We are our light in the place of darkness, in a dark world. And God has set us here. And he does have that. He says, hey, fight that good fight of faith. And so if there are words that God has given to you, maybe through someone else or through you praying and you have your little journal and things, certain scriptures he may have highlighted to you, certain words that he has given you. It is important that we keep those in front of us so we can war a good warfare. Because he tries to come. Anybody ever hear the devil ever try to condemn you? Amen. You just don't measure up. You're just not good enough. God's not going to take you. That's just, well, Romans chapter 1 says what? There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemning sentence that can be carried out against you because you've been born again, because you gave your heart to God. Now God has forgiven, that sentence is broken. There is nothing that the enemy can do. Amen. Except he comes to accuse you. That's his job. That's his work. The Bible says Satan, John 10:10, Satan comes what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is he trying to steal when he tries to condemn people? He's trying to steal your identity in Christ, who you already are, who God made you. He's trying to deceive you to believe something that is not true. Because God has already approved of you. God has already redeemed you. He has already forgiven you. He has written your name in the book of life. God has said, I place you in Christ Jesus. I'm in you and you're in me. We are one together, and our union is what is important. Now the only person then that's left, if the devil doesn't have, see, he hasn't been given power, that only just leaves you and I, doesn't it? Now we can walk away from God. We can walk away from his unity with us and us having, you know, relationship with him and fellowship with him and being close to him. Amen. But there is a warfare. That's what the devil is wanting. That's what he's hoping, is that he can discourage you, that he can deceive us, that he can say, oh, that's not going to work. Why? Because he's a liar. He comes, he's trying to, see, if he can't totally destroy you and stop you, then he wants to at least make you ineffective and neutralize what you're doing. Bring you to a place where, well, you know, we're not really away from God, but we're not with God. And God said, you know, we become lukewarm, and that's not a good thing, is it? He said he spews the lukewarm out of his mouth. But we want to stay hot with God and with him and for him. 2 Timothy 2. Let's turn over a few pages here. All right, let's just start here in verse 1. Well, wait a minute. 2 Timothy 2, yeah. Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. In other words, the pure faith, the real faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now here Paul is putting Timothy in remembrance of what he was and what had been handed down to him. Oh, that's not so. Yeah, that is. Hallelujah. What was handed down to him. And so he was there, and he's saying, your grandmother Lois had great faith. Your mother Eunice had great faith, and I believe you have great faith, Timothy. But here, Timothy was in the city of Ephesus, and there was a lot of persecution going on, and he had to endure some hardness. He had to endure struggle. There was a lot of persecution there, and that's one reason he's talking to Timothy. He said, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, Timothy. Don't fear in the midst of trouble. Do not fear in the midst when it doesn't look too good, when things are coming against you. But you, Timothy, rise up and be the soldier that God has called you to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he's saying here, Timothy, I believe in you. I believe in the things that have been placed in you, and that you are one that can wage a war, that can win. Fear will not destroy you. Hallelujah. And we don't have to fear, do we? What does it say in 1 John 4:18? The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. When we're made what? Perfect in that love, or in the Father. Well, let's read it a minute. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. I just want to make that one reference to Timothy, because I was talking about that. And while we are warfare, our warfare can be with the things that God has already said to us. The things that were placed within us. That faith that was put within this, in Timothy, he was able to walk out and continue to pursue in the midst of trial, in the midst of trouble, by remembering in warfare that takes place with the words God gives us. But what did I say? 1 John 4, verse 18, we have been given that spirit of fear. It says there is, 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And therefore, we can realize we are to walk in love. I mean, who is God? The Bible says God is love. He doesn't have love. It's who he is. Amen. That's his character. That's his nature, we would say. He can do nothing else. He doesn't choose to love. He is love. He doesn't become love. He is love. He's not the one that changes, but we are. We become more aware of how much he loves us. Says we love him, verse 19, because he first loved us. Now, you know, we see that love, of course, you know, in you know, if we say that we love God, we don't hate our brother. We love our brother, don't we? Now, here he's really distinguishing between the Christian and the non-Christian. See, I used to think, you know, 1 John's all about love. And it is. There's a lot of love in there. But the main point of 1 John was not about love. It was about knowing whether you and I know God. It was distinguishing between those that don't know God and those that do know God. And he said, if you know God, you're going to love your brother. He said, how do I know that I passed from death into life? How can I know that? Because we have love. One to another. You begin to you have love for the fellow brethren in the kingdom, in the family of God. We love one another. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by what? The love we have one to another. And where does that love come? It comes from the Father. He first loved us. We love because he first loved man. If God had a weakness, man is it, mankind. God loves man. There's something in man. He says, I made man for fellowship with myself. That was his whole purpose. He wanted to walk. He walked with Adam and Eve. What? In the garden. In the cool of the day. He wants to walk with you right now. Of course, there's the enemy. That's what we're talking about today. Man's warfare. What is our warfare? Our warfare is to overcome this body. The deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh, the things that the body wants to do. We have to become and realize that there's three parts of us, right? We know that. Thessalonians 5. Hallelujah. I believe it's verse 23. But anyway, that we are before God. He says, I want to sanctify you wholly, what? Spirit, and in your soul and in your body. Now, we know what our spirit is. Our spirit's the part of us that was born again. That's the part of us that's alive to God. Just like you see Pastor Doug here. If I stand here, I'll stand right here. Now, I've said this before, and we've talked about this, becoming aware of our inward man. Okay? If I stepped out of my body, the real me, or the real you, my body, I step over here, and you could see my spirit. You say, well, what's it made of? It's made of spirit. It looks just like me. Cell for cell within my body is my spirit, but it's down on the inside. It's kind of like people that say, well, you know, it's kind of, sometimes they refer to your subconscious. Anybody ever heard that? You know, something below the natural mind. Really, it's the spiritual mind, the spirit of you. Your spirit has a body just like you do. Just like your flesh does. But we have to have this body in order to live in this world. When the spirit gets separated from the body, then we call that death. physical death anyway. It's not spiritual death. Your spirit will never die. It either goes on into heaven or into eternal death, you know, separated from God forever in a place called hell, and none of us want to go there. Hallelujah. And if you're born again, I think everybody in here said they were saved today. You all raised your hand, right? I asked for believers, and we're here today, and we're talking about the believer's warfare. Where is that warfare? Primarily, number one, in our mind. That's the first thing we're looking at. And how do we war? We war with the truth of what God's word has said to us. Who we are. Condemnation? Romans 1:8. No. There's no condemnation for me. I'm in Christ Jesus. I don't walk after the flesh, but I walk after the reborn spirit that's on the inside of me. My spirit man. The real me. And sometimes it's kind of hard, you know, when we realize that, because we're so conscious. We get so conscious of our body and our mind, we forget we are a spirit. Number one, you were created by God. And just like, you know, when you were born, when you got, you know, you're in your mother's womb, your spirit began to grow with your body. Just like your body grew, your spirit was in there. It grows with you. It's alive to God when we receive Jesus Christ. And in the Spirit, see, it says, the Bible says, through the Spirit, through that inward man, we mortify or bring to death the deeds of the body. See, the body wants to do the wrong thing, but we want to do the right thing, right? The real you on the inside, but our body and our, well, I say the body and the flesh. The flesh is unrenewed parts of our mind also, and our body. Let's look at Galatians 5. Hallelujah. We'll get into this here and finish up. Glory to God. We're going to get into this here. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says this. Says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Okay. So we're seeing here that, you know, what is the Bible saying? What is he saying here? He's saying there is a war. There's a war that takes place with you against the flesh part of us. The part of us that has desires and longings to do it. In other words, let me say this, okay? Now, even if you're not saved, there's a certain amount of authority you have in the earth as a person. The devil can't just possess people. He can't. He doesn't have that kind of power. Jesus defeated him. However, he works. What does he do? He works to deceive, to try to trick them and talk them into doing things. You know, and when we're lost and we don't know God, we don't know any better. We have nothing else to run our life by other than what we see, we feel, we taste, we touch. We look at, but we have something greater. The greater one moved inside of you. God himself began to be your, he moved inside by the power of the Spirit. He moved in you. God made your spirit alive to God. And the Bible says he wrote his law, what? On our heart. Therefore, down on the inside, your conscience now, really, if we'll listen to it and we follow it, it knows right from wrong. You say, well, how come we don't always listen to it? Because we have flesh in our life. We can listen to it, but sometimes we're disobedient, aren't we? I mean, you know, if anybody here know a child, right? Don't take any cookies out of the cookie jar, right? Don't take any cookies until I tell you you can. How many ever got caught, you know? You got crumbs all over. Did you eat those cookies? No, mommy, I didn't get in there. No, Mommy already knows because mommy's got eyes in the back of her head. See, God gave her that. You know? we don't totally understand that, but she knows, you know, and she can see the cookies all over. No, I know you ate the cookies, you know. And the child says, yes, you know, okay, no more cookies for you. You don't get cookies today. You don't get cookies tomorrow. That's it, you know. Or whatever the punishment may be. Hallelujah. And so we realize sometimes our flesh desires things that are not right, that are not according to God's law, God's will. But when we follow our spirit, it will tell us down on the inside. We'll know. We'll sense that. You'll sense that scratch on the inside. Oh, I don't think I should do that. And yet, maybe you have not yet learned that truth out of the Bible. But later on, you'll be reading something. I've had this happen. Anybody ever have this happen to you? You're reading something, and oh, there it is. I did the right thing. I didn't do that. God says not to do that. And so you were following our spirit, even though maybe we had not even gotten that truth yet. You see, our spirit knows right from wrong. Our inward man, the Bible also refers to it as the inward man or our spirit man. So here we go. Let me read this again. I want to read this from the, there's a Living Bible. It's not really a translation. It's a paraphrase. I'm not, you know, but it gives a way of saying it. It says, I advise you. This is Galatians 5 again, 16 through 18. I advise you to obey the Holy Spirit's instructions. He will tell you where to go and what to do. And then you won't always be doing the wrong things your evil nature wants to do. For we naturally love to do evil things that are just the opposite from the things of the Holy Spirit that he tells us to do. Our natural man does, but our spirit man doesn't. And the good things that we want to do when the Spirit has His way with us are just the opposite of our natural desires. These two forces within us are constantly fighting each other to win control over us, and our wishes are never free from their pressures. When you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you need no longer force yourself to obey these other laws. So most of the problems that we face, and sometimes we blame them on the devil, are actually being produced by yielding to our own unregenerated flesh. Our body has not been saved yet, but it will be. How many are looking forward when you get a new body? Amen. The Bible says we are changed. We're going to be changed one day in the twinkling of an eye at the last trip. If Jesus comes back or if you pass away from this earth, your body's just going into the dirt, but your spirit's going straight to heaven. The Bible said to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hallelujah. And you'll have a new body, a spirit body that's alive. It doesn't hurt. There'll be no pain. There'll be no, you know, I don't think we'll have hunger pains even. You know, we may eat sometimes when we want to, but we may not have to. Praise the Lord. From the time that Jesus ascended from the earth to heaven, there's not one single incident recorded in the Bible that the devil was even really troubling the Christian. He troubles the Christian, but he doesn't have to, you know, he didn't even have to be cast out. You know why? He doesn't have authority over you. You have authority over him. The devil's power was broken. Now, don't get me wrong. He could deceive you, and you may end up, you know, inviting him as your friend because he deceived you so well, and we may have to cast something out, a devil out of a person. But that's not really what he did. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 4 and 5, is where we see there was a particular man in the church. And remember, he had his... The Bible says he was with his father's wife. In other words, probably, hopefully, his stepmother. And he was having relations with her and treating her like his wife. And he was there in the church. He was probably a leader in the church. And so there was a lot more. It was very important. He was saying, in other words, the point was, He was trying to say, this is okay. You know, we don't judge the people in the church. We judge the people outside the church. But Paul specifically came and he said, no, we judge those in the church, not those outside the church. And he said, right now, when I'm here, when I'm with you, the Spirit of God is here. We're not, they didn't say, you know, they said, we're going to turn your body, your flesh, over to the devil that your spirit may be saved. So that you might repent, hopefully, and your spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. In other words, when God comes or when you die. They're trying to save his life. Because God says, you keep living like that, you're not going to make it. Why? Because you're bound by the flesh. You're bound by the work of sin. His problem was not the devil. The problem was the flesh. And many things in our life, the problem's not the devil. The problem is the flesh. Now, you may have listened to him. And we do need to tell him, hey, get out of here. Leave me alone. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to listen to what God's word says. You now have a choice. See, when you're born again, before you're born again, the Bible says you're bound to sin. You're a sinner. That's what sinners do. They sin. Amen. How many know that's true? You ever been to the bar and see anybody doing righteously? You know, you don't go to the bar and say, oh, well, you know, what are you doing? I'm sinning, you know. They don't say that, but that's what they do because that's their nature. But you have a new nature. You have a new spirit on the inside of you. You now have the authority. You have the ability to control our mind, to control our flesh, and to take authority over. Satan has no authority over man at all. Otherwise, you know, I mean, think about that. He doesn't have authority over us in any way, really. If that's the case, then why did they have to turn that man over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh? He couldn't just destroy him, could he? His flesh would have destroyed him and his own self. See? The devil doesn't really have the power even to destroy us. We do. But if we give it to him, he will. He'll take advantage of us if we'll listen to him. But we're taking our thoughts captive and we're having that. Colossians 1:13 says that he delivered you and I from the power and authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. How many are glad you've been changed? You've changed ownership. You belong to Jesus now. Satan has no authority over the Christian. He cannot make you do anything that you do not want to do. He only causes your destruction by deception. He has to get you to agree with your unborn again flesh. Man is made of what? We said this earlier, the three persons. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. Spirit, and I pray God, your whole spirit, your soul, your body is preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man's natural disposition or his natural man is much more conscious, you know, of the body. A lot of times we're more conscious of the body than we are of the spirit. We said that. But you are a spirit. Everybody say, I am a spirit. I have a soul, a mind, a will, an emotion, intellect. But I live, what, in a body. There we go. Amen. So the part of you that's recreated, the new birth, your spirit, is already born again, right? Your soul is in the process. It's in that process of being renewed as we meditate in the Word. We pray, spend time praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for that? Sometimes your body doesn't want to go pray, does it? Anybody here ever had your body? Well, I think I'm going to go pray for a while. My body normally never wants to get up and go. Amen. Oh boy, you know, I mean, it doesn't like to get up early. It doesn't like to go pray for a while. Why? because it knows. See, your body's working against you. It likes to preserve itself, your fleshly man, your soulish man. It fights you, and you have to decide, no, I'm going to go with God. I'm going to put myself in a place where I can pray. And sometimes we have to discipline ourselves for a while. It's just like anything else in life. How many people like to go jogging, you know? Well, you know, you may not like to go jogging, but why do people go jogging? Because it's good for them. They're trying to keep their health up. They're trying to stay strong. They want to exercise so that they are healthy in the natural body. The Bible says it's good for this life. Exercise is good in this life for your body. But how about you know, he said, godliness is good for everything. It's good for all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have to decide who shall charge. Okay. All right. So we're working on these things. Our hope is that, well, one day, you know, I mean, obviously we're going to get that glorious body, and that's our great hope. But Philippians 3, let's go to Philippians 3:21 for a minute. Hallelujah. But we can see where our spirit has to become in charge of our life. See, our spirit man. If we are a spirit, that's who you really are. That's the real you. That's the part of you that is alive to God. That's the real part. Now, some people, you say, well, do other people have a spirit? Yes, they have a spirit too. But their spirit is not alive to God. That's why they're bound in sin. They don't have any hope. The Bible said they're without hope. They're lost in this world without hope. And so that's why they need Jesus. He comes and recreates the human spirit, makes it alive to him. He makes it new. Hallelujah. We become a species of being that didn't exist before. We don't become just like Adam and Eve. We didn't exist before because we're still in a natural body. See, Adam and Eve, when they were first on the earth, they had a glorified body. But sin, after they sinned, they fell from God. The Bible says eventually, you know, they died spiritually first. He says, if you sin, you'll surely die. They did die. Where? In their spirit, man. That inward man was separated from God. They were lost. They were under a death nature. Their nature changed from righteousness to a death nature, a sin nature. They had memories of walking with God, and they could still, you know, hear some things from God and so forth, but they couldn't do righteousness like they were before. They didn't have the dominion they had. They lost the glory of God that was upon them, and their body began to decay. Of course, it took a while at first. I mean, almost 1,000 years, Adam and Eve, they were alive for a long time. See, but we're coming from the other side. We're coming the opposite way. We're in death, and we're coming into life. Into walking with God. And we have everything given to us. And yes, we have a promised glorified body. Until we get there, God will give us healing. Hallelujah. We can trust him and he'll heal our body. Anybody ever been healed by the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. Healing, you know, health is better than sickness. If you've been sick. But God has a spirit. When we walk by that spirit, the Bible says we're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Glory to God. But Philippians 3:21, it says, who shall change our vile body? Verse 21, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so until that time, just like we said before, we're always going to want some things. There's going to be things in our life that challenge us. There's going to be challenges in this world. Partly because the world's, you know, this is a fallen world. There is sin and corruption here. Disease, all sorts of things that are going to fight us. But we have authority through what? Through Christ. What he did at the cross. You see, that authority is, it is authority that he has given to you and I. It is really Jesus' authority. But he gave it to us. He says, now you go in my name. Because of his name. Anybody ever had the power of attorney? You have a power of attorney in Jesus' name. To exercise authority in the earth for your life. We talked about that last week where we reign in life through one Jesus Christ. All right. Hallelujah. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17, when we begin to realize that, we realize who we are. I am what? He says, therefore, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that makes us new creations. You're a new spirit, born again. The old man died. In my spirit, I'm brand new. In your spirit, we're reborn. And by that spirit, we control the deeds of the body. We keep ourselves under control. We have to what? Control ourselves. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul says, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. Lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself may be a castaway. And that just means thrown off. I don't want to be a castaway. I have to be the example. We're to be that example. We want to be righteous. We want to keep our body under. We make our body obey us. The real us. That spirit man that's been born again. So we can say, I'm born of the Spirit of God. I set my mind, what? On the things that please God, please the Holy Spirit. And I don't have to yield to my flesh. I don't have to yield to that desire. You know, anybody ever had that? You know, you don't want one piece of pie, you want three. Why? My flesh likes it. You see, I have a problem. I like it. Everybody says, well, you don't like that pie. No, I like it. I just choose not to eat it. It's not wrong to eat a piece of pie, but it might be wrong for me to have three pieces or the whole pie, right? That might not help me. Hallelujah. How many know we keep under our body? It says in Romans chapter 8, hallelujah, our famous chapter. But I want to go to the earlier scripture, chapter 8, verse 5. Romans 8, 5. Are we making sense today? Anybody understanding? We're taking our thoughts captive. We're bringing those imaginations that the enemy would bring. We bring them captive. What? To the obedience of what God has said about you and I. That you are that new creation. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. You are more than a conqueror because Jesus lives in you. That's why. Because of what he did at the cross. I can conquer. I could do all things. Philippians 4:4 says, through Christ who strengthens me. See, he doesn't talk to us like we think. Oh, you're suffering. You're having trouble. Oh, you poor thing. No, he says, how is it that you have no faith? What's wrong? Yes, there's a struggle. But are you taking your thoughts captive? Are you doing what is necessary to overcome? Am I deciding in my life that I'm going to take charge through the Spirit of God that's in me, my spirit? The Holy Spirit was also there. So we've got double power. Hallelujah. But verse 5 says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you're born of the Spirit of God, we set our mind, what? On the things that please him. And we don't yield to our flesh. Verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many want some life and peace? You heard what Sister Jem said this morning, right? We can let the peace of God rule in our heart. We do that. You and I. You, the real you on the inside. We decide. Hallelujah. So we're not going to be carnally minded. We think like God thinks. We think like Jesus thinks. We have the mind of Christ. Our mind is full of life and peace. How many can let your mind be full of life and peace? He said when we keep our mind stayed on Him and what He has said, that's why it's so important. Every day we read the Word of God. We put it in our heart so that we don't sin against God. We don't allow that the thinking of the enemy to control us, but we allow God's thoughts to take authority, control us, and walk in life and peace. Verse 10. Let's see. What is verse 10? We got all the way down to 10. It says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." In other words, Christ, who is life, is in you. He's already in you. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Christ is in me. My body's been declared dead because of sin, but my spirit's been declared life. God has declared me to be righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You say, yeah, but what if I keep giving in to my stronghold? Well, we keep speaking the Word of God until it becomes the stronghold in our life. Amen? And the truth overcomes the fact every time. See, the Word of God is the truth, and it'll help us overcome anything the enemy is trying to deceive us with. I am righteous. You are righteous. And we hold fast to what God has said. We're debtors. Verse 12 says this, that therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to live after the flesh, but to live after the Spirit. Amen. When we walk by the new nature, the nature that God has given us on the inside, we're going to overcome this flesh. And that's how we do it. It's through the new man. Through the new man with the Word of God. We have the truth. How many have a Bible? If you don't have one, we'll get you one. But the truth will set you free. It will cause you to see that you have victory. It will cause you to be an overcomer. To walk with God hand in hand, to possess and to walk into your promised land. He'll take you by the hand. He'll lead you in. He'll cause you to see. And greater things there'll be within your life. It'll get brighter and brighter. He said the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter as the noonday sun. Hallelujah. There's good news with the Word of God. Even though our flesh does and there is a battle, we've got victory through Jesus. Amen. How many have victory today? How many are going to have that, let that peace dominate us? How many are you going to let that life in you dominate you? Amen. That is the real you is going to come forward. The real you, which is created in righteousness and true holiness before God. And we're going to walk according to that. We're going to let that be our guide. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we've tried to bring forth your truth that we are in you, Christ. That we're in you, in Christ Jesus, Lord. That we have a new nature and our spirit man can dominate. That yes, there's a war, but we have a victory. And it's through us taking our thoughts captive and bringing our imaginations into captivity, Lord God. And to let the truth of who you say we are dominate our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord God, that you always cause us to triumph in Christ. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.